On the line with me right now, I have Nora Barris Friedman, who's the senior producer of Flashpoints, coming out of KPFA 94.1. Nora, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on.
So what's the latest news? The latest I got here is 363 people have been killed.
That's about right. We have other reports saying 375. It's really hard to count the exact number of Palestinians that have been killed over the last 4 days.
Right.
Because of the incredible amount of chaos and lack of basic infrastructure in the medical sector. I mean, we're talking about a siege that's happened on top of 14 months of a crippling blockade against the people of Gaza in collective punishment. So, you know, when I was there in June, I visited hospitals that were out of anesthetics, were out of bandages, were out of blood and plasma and no chemotherapy, no insulin. And then, you throw 100 tons of bombs on these people's heads, there's no words. It leaves us all speechless.
So take us back a few days. What happened? What started this whole thing? What 4 days ago now?
Yeah, 4 days. Saturday morning, our time, Israel launched a massive coordinated strike. They hit about 60 targets at once, using U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets and U.S.-made Apache helicopter gunships with U.S.-made weapons at their disposal. The Israeli line is that they want to stop rocket attacks from Hamas. But really what happened was this was the culmination of the end of a six-month ceasefire that was brokered in Egypt during the summer, in which Israel started violating pretty much before the ink was even dry. There's not one day that goes by without an Israeli pointing a gun at a Palestinian. And especially for the people in Gaza, Israel went on a tightening rampage of extremely suffocating sieges against the Gaza Strip. They would not let fuel in. They would not let water, food, medicine, supplies, glass, school books, paper, pencils. So that, the day before these attacks began, last Friday, I was talking with a friend who said that he was driving around Gaza City looking for bread to feed his family because they were all out of bread in southern Gaza. So, and then, the corporate media says, well, it's Hamas's fault. Hamas should take responsibility. I mean, it's absolutely absurd to think that the people who are under occupation being besieged on a daily basis, not just for the last 14 months or the last, 5 days, but for the last 61 years, these people have been occupied, dispossessed, ethnically cleansed, and put on, completely, unable to self-govern, to have any self-determination at all. And then put the onus of their misery and their occupation on the occupied people themselves instead of the fourth largest military in the world, Israel, having a modicum of responsibility. It's absolutely amazing. Yes, the Palestinian resistance factions have fired rockets, but there is no equating the tiny kind of bottle rocket, crudely homemade, projectiles against, U.S. made Hellfire missiles against these incredibly large, I mean, we're talking one-ton, two-ton bombs here that were dropped. You can't equate that. And you can't ask the Palestinians to be responsible for the safety of their occupiers.
Now, I believe they took out a university, right? Is that true?
They did. Yesterday, they pounded the Islamic University in central Gaza City 10 times. There were 10 strikes against the
wow.
University. And, Gaza is the most densely populated place on the face of the earth. We have 1.5 million Palestinians inside a strip that is about 22 miles long by about 5 miles wide. So you hit, you know, a university. It's not just the university, and why they're taking out a university in the first place is cause for discussion. But it affects houses. It affects medical centers. Today, a dairy and a pharmacy were bombed. How can they even justify that? There's no. I mean, it's unbelievable, and they continue to get away with it.
Right. Well, I'm reading today from our International Middle East Media Center that about 10 folks have been killed today.
Yeah.
So far, and it has some pictures of two little children who obviously have been
and,
hurt.
And yeah, two little girls, sisters, aged 4 and 11, were killed in the northern Gaza Strip by U.S.-made Israeli weapons. And yesterday, 8 children in 2 separate attacks were killed as well, all under the age of 14. Now, I'm not sure if the New York Times is reporting that, or CNN certainly didn't report it. I was watching Anderson Cooper last night. He didn't say anything. But you can bet if 10 Israeli children were killed in 24 hours, you would know their names just as you should. We should all mourn the deaths of everybody that has died. Children, particularly, doesn't matter if they're Israeli or Palestinian or whatever. But the fact is that there is a discrepancy between the, you know, what the corporate media deems as worthy of headlines when it comes to Palestinian deaths. We all know that 6 Israelis have been killed in the last 4 days, but not everybody understands that 375, possibly 400 Palestinians have been killed. We don't know their names. We don't hear about their stories.
Now, tell us, excuse me, tell us about the ongoing wall that's being built, and is all this still continuing, the oppression that's happening as well throughout the whole the occupied territories right now?
Yeah, I mean, the wall that you're referring to is in the West Bank, which is completely separated from Gaza. It's only about a 40-minute drive from the southern West Bank to the northern Gaza Strip, but it might as well be another planet because there is no connection between the West Bank and Gaza in terms of Palestinians being able to travel between those two places to see family or to work. But the separation wall is continuing to be built as we speak, hour after hour. It started in 2002, and it's taken incredible amounts of Palestinian land inside the occupied West Bank. And basically, the apartheid wall is there to assist the settlement colony construction and annex more and more land, build these illegal settlement colonies for Jews only, build the bypass roads so that that Palestinians cannot travel on, but Israeli settlers are free to travel between what's considered to be Israel and these illegal settlement colonies on Palestinian land in the West Bank. The apartheid wall is very strategic in how it's being constructed. As I mentioned, it's there to annex land, but it's also carving out entire areas under which the most fertile agricultural spots for the West Bank and that Palestinians have been cultivating for thousands of years are on, as well as the water tables that are also annexed underground to the settlement colonies and to Israeli cities. So that wall is still going on. That wall that costs about $1 million per kilometer. That's our tax dollars hard at work. You know, U.S. taxpayers are responsible for giving Israel, anywhere between $3 and $6 billion a year, not including pretty much blank check weapons contracts. It's a constant tragedy. It's a constant nightmare, no matter if you're in Gaza or in the West Bank or for the 1.5 million Palestinians inside Israel itself. It is a nightmare. It's a tragedy, and at a time like this, people are just terrified and extremely sickened and depressed. I've been on the phone all weekend and all day and night with people, not only in Gaza but in the West Bank and inside Israel, and people are just they're just horrified. It's like this living nightmare that you can't wake up from.
We're talking to Nor Barris-Friedman, senior producer of Flashpoints, which you can catch on KPFA 94.1, sometimes in Santa Cruz, at 5 p.m., right? It's still on at 5 daily?
That's right, 5 p.m. You can also catch it online at flashpoints.net or at kpfa.org.
Now, the Israeli army appears to be getting ready for a ground assault. Has anything happened to that effect yet, or are they just still shelling and using Apache helicopters to bomb Gaza?
Yeah, not yet. Since Sunday, tanks have been amassing at the borders of Gaza. They've declared a two-kilometer, what they call a buffer zone, around the northern and eastern Gaza borders, not letting international journalists or even Israeli journalists inside Gaza to document what's going on. How very convenient for them. They've called up 6,500 Israeli soldier reservists who are now on notice, as they say. So, at this point, they don't really need a ground invasion. They're exterminating Palestinians at an accelerated rate by the air and by the sea. It's amazing. Once again, it's hard to even quantify the amount of destruction that has been brought upon the people of Gaza in the last 4 days. It's hard to quantify that with words or even descriptions that could match the amount of atrocities being perpetrated right now as we speak.
Now, do you have any hope for the Obama incoming administration to do anything in this effect? Obviously, he's been very quiet about this whole situation happening right now.
That's right. That's a really good question, and that's a question that we should all ask ourselves. You can bet that if 400 Israelis were killed in a four-day period, Obama sure would have had a press conference by now. The fact that he hasn't said a word, his silence is deafening, and in the minds of a lot of Palestinians, that just solidifies his complicity and his approval of Israeli policy. I mean, from the moment he was picked to be the candidate for the Democratic Party, earlier this year, he ran to the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, the number one lobbying group in Washington, and he sang the praises of Israeli policy. And he continues to do that now. And I think one of the reasons why we're seeing this assault at the level that it is because Israel knows that they can get away with it, that we're in a transition time between one administration who has wholeheartedly supported the extermination of Palestinians and another administration who will carry that line and carry that status quo into the next, 4-year term and longer. So Palestinians that I speak to, I haven't heard one that is hopeful, during this new administration. There are Americans here who, can see the writing on the wall and say maybe, Obama will be able to maybe talk with him, whereas during the Bush years, we haven't even been able to make a dent or even come, talking about our concerns. But I'm not sure if the Obama administration is even willing to listen at this point. They seem pretty solidly behind the Bush policy, the Bush doctrine on Palestine, and sadly, very sadly, I don't have any hope. I don't have any faith that anything will, quote change under this administration for the people of Palestine.
So what can people do right now? I know that there's been a lot of protests happening. There was one there in San Francisco, Dianne Feinstein's office yesterday.
That's right. Tonight in San Francisco, people are going to be protesting in front of the Israeli consulate on Montgomery Street. That's 456 Montgomery, starting at 5 p.m. Flashpoints will be broadcasting live from there. There are protests happening around the country. I think you can go to the International Answer Coalition's website at answer.org, I believe, is the website to find out where in your area. I'm sure that Santa Cruz has something going on. If it doesn't, someone out there should start something and get a protest going. We can all link up together. We have to build this movement of grassroots solidarity and a sustained resistance to what's going on right now. We can't just come out one day, one evening, and wave a few banners and chant some songs and then go home. We have to commit to really, you know, becoming the people that you know, Alice Walker says, that we've been waiting for. We can't rely on these leaders to listen to us. We can't rely on them to change policies that are ingrained in you know, U.S. imperialism and capitalism right now. We have to take it upon ourselves to make that change happen from the ground up.
Now, one more quick thing. This morning, a humanitarian aid boat was attacked by the Israeli Navy.
Right.
And I think they end up porting, and they had a bunch of supplies, and as well as Cynthia McKinney and other folks from around the world were on that boat. Have you got any latest news on that?
Yeah, they tried to cross into Gaza in Gaza waters through international waters, but Israeli warships confronted them and ended up ramming the boat, and then apparently they escorted them back to Cyprus, whatever that means. The boat is now docked in Lebanon, in Beirut, I believe, but it did suffer a severe gash in the side. Cynthia McKinney, who we all know and love, was on that boat, and we're going to have her on the program tonight on Flashpoints talking about that. Also, Sami Alhaj, the Al Jazeera cameraman who was abducted and detained and sent to Guantanamo for the last 6 years by the U.S., who has just been released after 6 years of torture. He was also on that boat. A bunch of wonderful international humanitarian aid workers and activists, former politicians. But they were not able to deliver the medical supplies to the people of Gaza. Israel has prevented that, as they have prevented that for months. So we're going to get more information on that as it happens, too.
We're talking to Nora Barris-Friedman, the senior producer of Flashpoints from KPFA, which you can catch at 5 p.m. tonight or download at flashpoints.net and listen to it later on. And they have shows from previous days as well. I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us here in Santa Cruz and informing us. And lastly, if you could speak to the way, I mean, it always amazes me that the Palestinians, no matter how much they're bombed, no matter how much they're bombed and their houses are gone, they seem to come back and they seem to have the way of being able to bounce back. What can you talk to that? I mean, I don't know.
It's amazing. There's a word for it in Arabic. It's called sumud, which means steadfastness, and it's become a cultural description of the impermeable resilience. I mean, it's amazing that after 61 years of ethnic cleansing, expulsion, torture, dispossession, bombings, shootings, gassings, everything, that you know, Palestinians are still able to wake up in the morning, let alone, you know, stay committed and stay resilient to their, you know, to their hopes and their dreams of one day achieving justice and freedom. We have a lot to learn. Just as we have a lot to learn from the people of Iraq, of the people of Afghanistan, from the people down in the border in this country. We have a lot to learn from people who can sustain this kind of aggression and still come out alive and still remain committed to, you know, to seeing future generations live in freedom.
And again, we're talking to Nora Barris-Friedman. Thank you so much for taking the time, and hopefully we can call you back and get some more reports.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for doing this.
All right. Take care, Nora.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Happy New Year. Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. Doing coverage, what's going on in Gaza, Palestine. We'll be playing more. Stay tuned, Freak Radio.